Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Hello, sweet friend. Before we dive into this week's episode content, I wanted to make sure that you had the best and most up-to-date information about how to become a more active participant in this community. My business would not exist without incredible people like you. And so my hope is that all of the information that I put out, whether it's on socials, on the podcast, or my favorite way to stay in touch via my email list, helps you to take the steps that you need to create all the results that you want to create in your business so that we can co-create a better world. You can head to www.karakovacs.com and subscribe to my email list. You'll see a pop-up for a quiz that will give you the next best step for your business, dependent on where you're at and what you most need to focus on right now. And there's also a whole library of free resources, a mini course that'll help you start thinking about your business like a business instead of your own personal existential crisis. And once you're subscribed, you'll get weekly love letters from me that I hope give you exactly what you need to take action in a way that feels mission-driven, value-aligned, and expansive for you. So make sure you're subscribed and stay in touch. I love being connected to you. Hello, witches, and welcome to another episode of Business Witch. It is my pleasure to introduce you to our spiritual business mentor who's gracing us with her presence today. Kat Hosu Lee is going to be talking to us all about bringing Taoism into our businesses and the seasonal and cyclical nature of business, which I think some of you don't think about enough. You're trying to make it summer all the time. But Kat, welcome to the show. Tell the people a little bit about your work.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. Kara, I've been following your work for quite a bit of time. And so when your team reached out to me, I was like, yes, like immediately, yes. So thank you so much for having me on here. And a little bit about my work is that I got into entrepreneurship fairly early. I think my first business I started when I was like in my early 20s. And just everything that was out there that I could learn about business was not very like thorough material. And it also like basically taught us how to perpetuate hustle and grind and like overwork and override sort of culture. And as I continued on my business journey, I was like, there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be a more aligned, a more sustainable, a more, I guess, cyclical way to do this. My background is as an acupuncturist. And so I spent the first, I would say, many years of entrepreneurship as an acupuncturist. And part of that is that the medicine is grounded in a lot of Taoist philosophy. And everything around Taoism is, I kind of like want to pause here because I don't want people to get like turned off of the term around Taoism. Because while it is my spiritual practice, I'm not here to like preach or like tell you how you should live your life. But the way that Taoist philosophy came to be is like, it was just a bunch of nerdy people watching nature and being like, hey, does that line up with how I am living my life? Does that line up with my body? Does that line up with, you know, how our society can function? And so a lot of the principles that I talk about around Taoism is really just like, how alignment are we with nature? And if we feel that sort of fracture or rupture with nature, it's our role to, because we are all a part of nature, like how can we come back into that and still be like humans living in the modern world? And so the way that I teach business was really founded on that idea and that concept, because I was just tired of going through burnout cycle after burnout cycle after burnout cycle and realizing that it wasn't the particular work that I was picking. You know, like I was a calligraphy artist for a while. I worked in restaurants for a long time. I ran an acupuncture practice for a long time. I then joined an acupuncture practice. And like all of those places, the one thing that I had in common with all of it was I would override my own needs to make sure that everyone else was comfortable. And I would overwork myself to a point that it was just like completely unsustainable. And then I would jump ship and think that jumping ship was a thing that was going to fix the problem before recognizing that, oh, it's actually this systemic thing that we all live within. And how can I, as like my own business, how can I do that differently? And so when the pandemic hit, we all took a massive pause. And I took that as a time to really shift my way of thinking around business and build a business. And that's what you see now, build a business that is the like accumulation of all those learned struggles and challenges. And it's hard, you know, like I feel like I'm swimming upstream at times. And I'm sure you feel the same way too. Like, how can we do better in business and support our bodies, support our communities? I love the work that you do in terms of like the bigger outreach. I wish that I had the like capacity and energy to do that, but I feel really happy and like really content in the little bubble that I'm in. And I think that everyone has their own little piece of this society in terms of changing the culture of how we work and how we do business.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I feel like there are so many directions we can go in. But what I was even struck by, first, I want to ask you the lived experience of shifting for yourself, because I feel like I say this to my clients all the time. You're your own first client. Mm-hmm. I'm always coaching myself on my own mindset. It's very
easy
for me to be like, oh, you're thinking something that is not rooted in reality at all. And it's making you feel shitty. Like, look at that, you know, so you're your own first client. And I would love to hear the lived experience of your shift and that realignment and what that's opened up for and created for you. Maybe we start there.
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing I want to say right off the like page is that I felt incredibly supported through the pandemic. I know that that's not everyone's lived experience, but at the point that the world stopped, I was so tired. I was seeing, I would say pretty easily, like 50-ish clients a week. I was working 50-ish, sometimes even longer than that when people would go on vacation, 50 to 60 hours a week fairly easily. And I was just like so burnt out from being an acupuncturist. I was working in a really busy clinic and practicing fertility medicine. And I was on call all the time. And so like there was this like unsustainable sort of like, oh, I need to like do something different. I don't know how to make that switch. I had been at that point writing things on Instagram and had a couple of people reach out to me for coaching, not even really like having an offering or a package or anything like that. It was just, they were like, hey, I'm really resonating with what it is that you're writing. Can I pay you for a session? And so I took on a couple of clients like that. And so there was just this like knife's edge where I was just like if I could just dream up my life, I want to be working with people virtually online so that I can be accessing people from all over the world. At the time, I was really into traveling. And so it's like, man, I wish I could just travel more. And so I feel like I was just sort of like the pimple was ready to pop. Like, I can't think of a more eloquent analogy. And then the pandemic hit and I was living in Canada, working and living in Canada at the time. And the Canadian government gave each citizen, at the time I was a permanent resident, $2,000 a month. And so that basically covered, I knew I wasn't going to lose my apartment and I knew I wasn't going to like starve. And so then I could actually push all of my energy into this coaching business. And I feel like that was right when everything was moving online anyway. And so it was just this like juicy moment that I don't know is available to everybody. And I just say that because I think that a lot of people look at a lot of the successes that happened in 2020 and beyond, and they think, oh my gosh, why aren't I there yet? Or like, why isn't my business, you know, at that place yet? And I think we all need to, especially if we've had some level of success, like acknowledge where we've had those spaces where we felt safe enough to take the next step. And for me, like that big safety net was being able to receive money from the government so that I could then focus on like anything beyond having my basic needs met, meant that my business could bring that in. So there's that piece there that I feel like is really important, because it wasn't just that, like, you know, I think that there's so much coaching out there that's like, just feel your fear and do it anyway and just jump in, or otherwise you don't believe in yourself. And it's like, no, we need to establish a baseline of like having your basic needs met so that you feel safe enough to take that next step. And I think that whatever that looks like for people, I advise people all the time, hey, don't leave that 9-to-5 job quite yet. You know, use that 9-to-5 job as a runway, maybe create a savings buffer so that when you do take that leap, and it's not always going to be just like linear, like sunshine and rainbows growth, even for me now, like there's slow periods, especially in the wintertime for me. And so being able to like assess for yourself what that like safety bubble is going to be, I think is really important. For me, the lived experience of just having gone through lots of different aspects of, you know, I tried working for myself, I tried working for other people, and just being like, there is something just like kind of broken about everything that I'm putting myself into and then making myself wrong for that thing. And instead, the pandemic, because of that pause, I got to actually look at that situation from more of a witnessing point of view and being like, oh, that's why I felt so uncomfortable in that clinic, you know, because the owner of that clinic was asking me to do so much more than my body was capable of doing. And then if I couldn't perform to that level, it was like, oh, we might need to have a talk and have a conversation about, you know, what you could be saying differently to your clients to help bring your clients back in. And it's like, that one in particular, like it's still a little bit of a sting, because at the time I was bringing the clinic in like $30,000 to $40,000 a month, just me by myself in gross, and taking a very, very small percentage of that. So like there's aspects of this where I think that everyone could sort of individually insert their own story and say like, hey, like if that thing did not work, is it actually something that I did wrong or like something that I needed to fix? Or was that whole system like broken within that business? And then how does that fit into the bigger system of our collective and how we relate to work and money and worth and, you know, capitalism, extractivism? Like, can we look at the whole thing and not take on the shame of that on our own? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's so powerful. There are so, again, so many things in that. I like listened to this podcast episode last night of Financial Feminist that right before I got on this call with you to record this podcast, I recorded a solo episode where I referenced that episode. So there'll just be two episodes where I reference this episode, but it really stuck with me. It's this woman, Madeline Pendleton. She is like a fashion founder, and she wrote a book called I Survived Capitalism and All I Got Was This T-shirt. And she was talking about how poverty is a policy decision. And that as small business owners, we can control so much, but we can't control the economy. And that people, like what I heard in what you were saying about living in Canada and having that security while all of us here in the States were waiting for our $600 check, is like, it's a policy decision that most people in the United States can't afford homes right now. In that we have like an imaginary middle class, and that the median home price in the 50s was $5,000 and the average annual salary was $3,000. And now the average annual salary is $70,000 and the average home price is like $450,000. Like all of that is policy decisions.
Yeah.
I think where our work intersects is that I see entrepreneurship as a way to opt out of that construct, because then you are the only person who can cap how much income you make, or who can control as much as you have control over. Again, you can't control the economy, but like nobody can fire you. Nobody can overwork you except yourself. And you have agency over how you work, when you work, how you make money, the ethics you do or do not put into your business, the values that you build everything around. And that in societies where we give people the safety to actually create that, beautiful things can happen. And what is often missing, and my own accountability that I take in this, is like when I came into the coaching industry, I was very much like, oh yeah, think your way into success, believe your way into success. Like that was what I was taught. And to your point of like, when I saw that not working in my own client basis, like it did, to be honest, it worked in my case, but not because of the belief, because like I also had a strategy mind and took to it very, very naturally. I had like relevant experience, like copywriting, and like had already built community on social media. So I had, like you said, those like privileges that helped to bolster that immediate success. But I saw in my own clients, like belief is not enough to create results. It's not that they didn't believe hard enough. It's that there's something that is wrong here that I can feel. But I was like, is it the system that's wrong? Or is it something that I did wrong? Like, and so I think there's this really important thing in what it is that you're talking about distinguishing the difference between making it a you thing when it's a systemic thing.
Yes.
And then what you do in response to that, which can be really scary if you don't have some of the kinds of support that you and I have just acknowledged that we had, or a very clear why of what you want to do in the first place. So I'm curious, you know, what you might say to that, like for people who are like, okay, I hear you. Maybe I'm not the problem, but like, what do I do with that?
Yeah. So this is where I get like, oh, like tingly goosebumps excited, because this is where it ties into Taoism. And in particular, it ties into this concept of the Tao. And so I'll reference a couple of books here that people can go check out. But the most seminal text that we have in Taoism is one called the Tao Te Ching, and the other one is called the I Ching. And the Tao Te Ching is, I don't know how to explain it, it's like an instruction manual of like a sage, wise elder answering questions for somebody who has like a lot of curiosity about how the world works and how nature works and how society works. And it's a very poetic text, but essentially the whole concept around the Tao is, it can be translated as path. I often talk about it in terms of purpose, but when I think about human beings, you are born into this little meat package. And I think that as little ones, we are so much wiser than we give ourselves credit for. I think our souls come in knowing, hey, this is what I'm supposed to figure out in this lifetime. And I have a reason to be here. And as we grow up, as we, you know, live from, you know, the context of our families, within the context of culture, within our communities, we start layering on these conditions and narratives and belief systems that probably worked for us at some point or another. And as we, some of us come through like our own healing journey, some of people call it like a spiritual awakening, what we find actually is like, hey, all those thoughts and beliefs, like, yeah, they served me, but maybe they don't serve me anymore. And so it's that shedding process. I think about spirituality as being a subtractive process rather than an additive process, because it's that like shedding of like all those stories, narratives, and conditions that really never worked for you, but you needed to take them on to survive. And when I think about that like mismatch between individual and society, I often am trying to get to the layer of what's that person's purpose or what's their Tao? And sometimes I actually think of these as being success stories just alongside the people who I've been able to help get to like six figures, is they go through working with me and they're like, oh, actually, I think I need to go back to school because I'm really, really curious about this topic. And I really want to dive deep into that. Or they think, I have one woman who was like, I just love her to pieces. She had like a massive Instagram following talking about nervous system regulation. She wanted to become a somatic coach. And quite honestly, when she reached out to me for help, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to help you with, girl. Cause like she had a significantly bigger following and like marketing strategy than I did. But really when we got down to it, like she was like, I want to be a pop star. And so she dropped her entire nervous system regulation somatic coaching thing and has now been recording really fun pop songs and releasing them and creating music videos. And like that has been her purpose and her Tao. But to get to that, like we needed to do a lot of work in terms of like shedding those layers of like, this is what you should do, or this is how success looks like from an external point of view. And to me, like, that's where that juicy space of spirituality and business and how we interact within the collective, like, kind of intersects, is the more that we can be the truest version of ourselves, the less we're creating these, like, I want to call them like trauma wounds. That might be a little bit of like too big of a statement to make, but I don't think it is. Like, the trauma wounds that we perpetuate within the collective around business, you know, because we're so focused on, well, that online coach told me that I just need to be posting consistently on social media. I need to be, you know, prepared to meet every single objection on a sales call. I need to make sure like that I'm giving them options if people say that they can't afford me. Hey, how about getting a loan? How about putting it on a credit card? You know, like, people are coached in these ways that, to me, it lands so uncomfortably in my body. I think that we need to individually be doing this work to be shedding those layers so that we aren't looking to other people to think about them as like an extractive resource, the way that capitalism has trained us to look at them.
Yeah, I had Kelly Deals on the podcast in January of this year, 2024, for people listening sometime in the imaginary future, if they want to go back and reference it. But she was talking about how we're all in the water and we're all wet. And I really appreciated that reminder, because, as I said, like, that was what I was taught when I came in.
Yeah, same.
Manifest your way to all of this money, but like bragging about clients taking out loans to work with them, mm-hmm. and seeing that as some kind of aspirational pathway that I should be adopting and implementing in my own business. Mm-hmm. And then there were times where I acted outside of my own integrity, internalizing that the negative feeling I had about what I was doing was a thought block, or like a mindset block, that I now, after having divested from that system, am like, that was a sign from inside of you that you weren't doing what aligns for your values.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to blame like the person who taught it to me is, again, it's
not appropriate either. Yeah.
Part of a bigger ecosystem of a kind of culture. And when we're talking about like coaching being such a relatively new industry, much less marketed in an online landscape, like, our industry is like barely a decade old.
Yeah.
And at least online coaching businesses, online coaching communities, maybe 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, we get to be the culture creators, which I think can be very cool. Mm-hmm. And it's not dissimilarly to the work that we're doing in so many other of these systems that we are trying to disrupt or take apart. And what you were saying about like trauma wounds, or of like acting outside of the scope of your own integrity, I was thinking about like my queer friends who stayed closeted, mm-hmm. you know, all the way through her 20s, and like how painful that was. And that they weren't out, so I didn't know. But like that there was something always sad beneath that I could feel in them. Mm-hmm. And that was expressed, but without connecting it to the honest truth of what was really there. And it feels something like that, or in my own journey of like learning to be at peace in my body.
Yeah.
As somebody socially conditioned as a woman who like only ate Special K for 2 years in high school, and really stripping away the me staring in the mirror, squeezing the bottom of my stomach, was not because I hate that part of my body. It's because of every image I've ever seen of what a beautiful stomach is supposed to look like for 20, however many years of my life. So I think, to your point of like these wounds, anybody listening, whether they've started their business or not, can identify in their own personal life the impact of picking up something that does not belong to them, but making it some kind of universal truth because it seems to be socially accepted. And then having to go on the journey of interrogating, like, is that actually true? And how confusing it is to feel like it's not in your body, and then make yourself the one that's wrong.
Yeah. That right there is the like mic drop sound bite.
Well, we use a sound bite from you. Thank you.
But I think that what you're speaking to here is, and again, I never speak to this in terms of like, let me point the finger and blame the person who taught this to me because I've been taught the same exact things. You know, I think that the difference between you and I is that I've had an entire background in learning and training about the nervous system and listening to the body because of my acupuncture background. And so for me, when I started feeling, oh, that doesn't quite feel right, I wonder why. It's just that the examination process started a bit sooner because I'd had that background. Like the same way that you were like, I had a copywriting background. And so therefore that was like big chunk of ice underneath the iceberg that people don't always get to see. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I had an entire training around somatics and understanding the body. And so I'm always seeking to look to the body and even the signs and symptoms that come from the body as messages instead of like things that we need to shut down or like medicate ourselves out of. It's like, oh, so you're feeling a bit of a stomach ache when you think about, you know, marketing to people in a particular way. Like, can we listen to that? And, you know, exactly as you were saying with Kelly Deals, is this is the water that we're all swimming in. And also, this is why I feel like our work and, you know, especially as folks who have grown up in the like, you know, infancy of the coaching industry, seeing this and trying to teach a different way is I know that I make different decisions as like sole person who cares about the earth, who, you know, cares about food systems, who cares about the clothing that I wear and the, you know, where they come from. And this has like impacts on a societal level because I'm a consumer in this world as well. Like we can't pull ourselves away from capitalism and the fact that we need money and then we also buy things, right? Mm-hmm. And so like I would so much rather there be many more people like me making these daily decisions and driving the collective towards a different future versus corporations having all that money.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel so strongly about getting more money into the hands of spiritual entrepreneurs, because we make different decisions and these decisions matter. And if we can, you know, I do think that there is some aspect of this that is true, which is like there are blocks that come up. Oftentimes these blocks come up from messages that we consumed when we were young and belief systems around money. Oh my gosh, so many belief systems around money, like what it means to be paid for the work that you do. Like if we can help our clients move through some of these core emotional blocks, then we're able to not just like dream, but like move towards a society where like we are spending our money in ways that feel aligned and ethical. And so that collectively moves our future in a different way.
And I think that's, you know, the shared ethos of our missions is that. And I think too, we live in a time where socially people have thought, oh, if I just drown myself in student debt and get a job, I'll be able to be safe. And then our generation is looking at having unprecedented debt and not being able to afford property. Like, again, these are policy decisions. This is a particular rock and a hard place that millennials very specifically have been put in. And it'll be really interesting to see over the next decade or two politically what is played out. And so when I support entrepreneurs to be more successful in that kind of a cultural climate, like we need y'all right now. Like people need your services right now. You know, I coach a career coach who helps people who are drowning at their tech jobs and who are really unhappy, but feel like they have no way out. And like, that's no way to live our lives. As you were saying about people having those feelings inside of them, it's like they have that feeling, but also they have kids that are reliant on them, or a spouse who might be out of work, or aging parents that they're taking care of. And so sometimes it feels like, well, what do I even do about that feeling that I have? And one just prompt I want to offer people, because I think it'll be valuable for them, is to really learn to distinguish between I'm stretching towards growth. So it's really, really scary for me to leave my job and start my business, or it's really, really scary for me to get on my first enrollment call and make a sales pitch, or it's really, really scary to go on Instagram Live for the first time because that's a new edge versus I'm acting out of accordance with my own integrity. And this is a prompt I give clients all the time to actually start to distinguish the difference between those feelings, because it's easy to mistake one for the other. And I can't tell you what it's going to feel like for you to notice it, but to start to notice it.
Yeah. I think just adding to that, the place that I start with my clients is, what does that feel like in your body? And asking them specifically, what's the location and the sensation? And it's so interesting to me because a lot of times people will go to an emotion instead of a sensation. And, you know, they'll go into like, oh my gosh, I feel guilty about that. Instead of like, oh, when I'm stretching towards a goal, if I think about it in my own body, like there's like a flutter in my chest. It feels a little bit heady, but it still feels pretty grounded. Like I can feel all the centers, like I could feel the core of my body and it feels rooted, even though there's like kind of this like nervous-sided energy. Versus when I'm acting out of integrity, I get like this like pit, dark hole feeling in my stomach, you know? And so then that becomes a marker of being able to distinguish for yourself. Like, oh, when I'm around that person, you know, and I feel that nervous-sided energy, I'm stretching outside of my comfort zone in a way that actually feels really good and feels like in integrity. Versus I'm around that person and I get a dark pit in my stomach. That means that I need to either uphold some boundaries around that person or, you know, say no to that person. And you can apply that to like every decision that you're making in your business. You know, someone's telling you to market this way or that way. Hey, like, how does that feel in your body? Is this in integrity? If it's an integrity and it's just like a little bit of like a yoga stretch, then it's going to feel a particular way in your body. If it's not an integrity and you're like, no, this is not okay, then it's going to feel another way. And then that gives you the conversation piece that I think is missing in a lot of ways that we do business, because we're taught to override everything that comes from like our neck down. And really, there's just so much wisdom in our bodies. And this is where I think that we can start sort of like playing with the concept of living your purpose and living your DAO. And also knowing that there's not going to be this like 180 degree switch, you know? And so for the person who's saying like, oh, I feel like my heart is wanting to move towards, you know, whatever this goal is, and I have kids to feed and I have a mortgage or rent to pay and all this stuff, it's like, well, what does that micro step look like? It doesn't mean that like, you know, and this is oftentimes what happens when we get locked into the sympathetic part of our nervous systems, is we go into like a binary state. It goes into like a this or that sort of a situation, which is really not all that different from like fight or flight, versus like when you're able to, this is why I feel like working with a coach or, you know, sharing this with a friend who is like trustworthy and brings about a sense of safety for you, is we can start to see the like, you know, options that are in between those two and see them as valid ways of making decisions.
Yes. And it's such a good reminder to not like, just because you are starting your business doesn't mean you need to quit your job, or just because you are putting up a website doesn't mean that you need to like commit to posting every single day, that there are so many in-between steps, especially like now being 7 years in, there are so many in-between steps to getting things done that I want to do. And I think we see things from the outside and we make a lot of presumptions around like what kind of privilege a person has or what they did or didn't do or what kind of support they have. And it's a much bigger story, or like an iceberg, as you called it earlier, than what we usually get to see. And to give yourself the grace to build that in a way that works for your nervous system, which is why like I'm a big proponent of having, we live in the gig economy, like have a side hustle. I had a side hustle the first almost 2 years of my business, and it's the only reason my business exists now. So to hold yourself to this kind of standard too, like the immediate success that is often promised in our industry.
Yeah.
Which is a false promise statistically, like I'm not even talking about myself or my clients. I'm just saying statistically, it's a false promise. Most people are not making six figures in their first 3 months of putting up a shingle and saying that they're open. And it puts people in a position of feeling like they failed when they've actually done some pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing to name in terms of like what it looks like from the outside is oftentimes not what shows up on the inside. Is like this year, I feel like, is the only year that I can honestly say that I can post, quote unquote, consistently. And it's because I have 3 years of writing that I've done that can be repurposed. And I have a team that I can now, like business partner Andre does a lot of this where, you know, he can create these graphics and put them out on Instagram for me. And so then all I have to do in terms of my consistency is like show up in stories, you know, when I feel like it aligns for me. But like, I feel like that's one of the things that is like talked about as like the magic key to online coaching success is like, you just have to be posting consistently to like feed the algorithm. And it's like, if I was holding myself to that standard at year one, I would have burnt myself out so quickly. And so, you know, it's only in now I'm in year four of this online coaching work where like, I'm like, oh, I have a backlog of things that I can recycle and use again because it's still relevant, even though I posted that thing originally like a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And so that's like the pieces that like people don't always see. I've had folks come to me and they're like, I can't believe how much you're able to like post. And it's like, no, I'm not actually writing completely original material every single time I post. So like, take a step back, give yourself a little bit of breathing room, and allow yourself to not be held to the same standard as somebody who's been doing this work for a couple of years now.
And also, you don't need Instagram to run a profitable coaching business.
True. Very true. Very, very true.
The episode I recorded before I recorded this episode with you today is about that, and it will actually come out before this episode does. So people can go back and listen how to create a profitable business without social media. I took a 6 month break in 2022 and I had my highest earning month of all time, the second month of that 6 month break.
Mm.
And so I just think that the main reason that social media is a great tool is because it helps you create community. And wherever you want to create community, podcasts like this, Facebook group, in your local community.
Yeah.
That's the point ultimately of social media, is a community creation. And so if it makes you feel bad or you feel inauthentic on it, it's not going to be.
Yes.
Like, it's the same as going into a party and being like, being here is making me feel bad and I don't feel like I can talk to anybody. You're probably not going to make the same kind of friends as you would if you showed up authentically in the space. And I think that's true, whatever like client acquisition strategy you use, whatever platform you choose to nurture your community on. And so in my own business right now, I'm like, it's not that much fun for me on there. And I'm not being consistent. And I'm fortunate that I have an email list I've been consistent with the entire time I've been in business. That is where the majority of my revenue comes from at this point. So again, it's like that iceberg or those like multiple places and spaces where we're building things. But I want people to walk away from this really feeling like, and that feels a little bit, I don't want to misuse it, a little bit like the Tao of like, what is your way? What is your truth? What is an alignment for you?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And like, to your point, like, is just relationship building. Like, that's the thing, is like, we've mutated it into this thing where it feels like it should be a machine. And so it's like, if I post consistently on social media, then I will get X amount of clients and fulfill all of my online coaching dreams. It's like, no. Like, whatever makes the most sense for you in terms of relationship. And, you know, everyone's going to feel really differently in these different spaces. And so feeling into what honestly feels good and exciting and like connecting for you is so much more important than just doing the formula that everyone says that you should be doing. You know, I think one of my clients was able to fill an in-person workshop about being in community with the forest, like through flyers. Like, she was like, my entire town is all about these flyers that they post in these community spaces. And that was how she was able to market. And it's like, yeah, like, let's go back to whatever things work best for you and feel most aligned for you, instead of feeling like we have to force ourselves into these spaces that don't feel good.
Thank you for reminding me to talk about this, because I actually had a note to talk about this on that other episode that I recorded and I totally forgot to bring it up. There's this woman here in LA. Her Instagram handle is Jess Beyond the Body. And she runs all of these community events in LA. I found out about her because for my friend's birthday in September, she did a queer foraging event where like we were literally pulling radishes out of the storm drains of LA. And people were tasting them like that. That was not my thing, but I was there. Like, I'm not tasting the storm drain radish. But her entire business model is like Eventbrites. And there were probably 15 or 20 people at that foraging event. And it was, I think, $40 or $50. I haven't attended an event of hers since, but like I'm following along, and she does polyamorous meetups and game nights for introverts and like just constantly feeding community events, and has built this platform, which I think is really needed in LA, because LA is a place where people feel pretty isolated to their neighborhoods. They find it hard to meet friends as adults here. So I wanted to bring it up on the episode about not needing social media, because she's created this sort of unique business model that is really serving the community in a way that I haven't seen anybody else do. And I met somebody at that queer foraging event who became a client. So I think that there is a way in which we build these little ecosystems that person didn't become a client that day. They became a client, you know, 6 or 7 months later. But it's this way in which you can't anticipate the ways in which you're going to create opportunities for your business. And so you're like, I posted something and nothing happened.
Yes.
And now I feel bad about myself. And now I think I better go get that job back that I didn't like, because I'm never going to be able to do that. It's like we write these wild stories.
Yeah.
They don't help us. They're not based in reality. And I think centering, being of service to people, creates a kind of magic that even though I haven't been back to an event, like I'm bringing it up and now sharing it. Maybe somebody who lives in LA will listen to this and then go to her event. Like, people are talking about your work like that without you ever knowing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that another important piece that you're bringing up when it comes to marketing is there's this idea of like, again, it's this machine of like, if I do X, if I pull this lever, then Y is going to happen. And for me and in my experience, I have people who have followed my work, who have listened to tons of my podcast episodes, and don't sign up to work with me for like a year and a half, 2 years. And so like when they finally show up on a connection call, they're like, oh my gosh, I've been watching your stories. I've been watching your Instagram. I've been listening to your podcast. And like, I have no idea who they are, even though they've been following me for like 2 years or plus. And so had I quit, you know, 6 months in because, you know, I'm not getting the kind of momentum that I think I was supposed to be getting or feel like I'm entitled to, you know, I would have never had a chance to help this person. And so like, if we can, you know, and this is where we can start thinking about, you know, our business as like an analogy to a garden, like sometimes you plant seeds and they're ready to harvest like right away, you know, like lettuce is like a really easy thing to like plant and harvest. And then there are some things that require like deeper roots. And particularly, I think in my circle of folks, I have folks who are really sensitive, who tend to be a bit introverted. And so they're going to sit and watch for a while. They're going to sit and like absorb and like, you know, think about things and like watch my stuff for a while. And I think of those people more like, you know, the artichokes and the asparagus, where it's going to take, you know, 2 to 4 years for that fruit to come up and be ready to be harvested. And so for me, thinking about my business as an ecosystem. And so, you know, there are things that are really easily accessible, easy to consume, like right away, like some of my workshops. And there are some things that are going to require a bit more of a time and energy and financial investment. And so like giving people lots of options along that spectrum, so that there are lots of opportunities to, again, build relationship together, I think is the key when it comes to business, is like, let's start just thinking about each other as like fellow humans.
That is my favorite sales strategy. Like not trying to sell things and just seeing how you can support people. And I think it's a really great example for people listening of what it looks like to know your audience. Like if you know that you are providing services to artichokes, you don't want to like treat them like lettuce.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually treating them like lettuce is going to make them run away from you, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to feel really pushy to them. It's going to feel like sync with their body rhythm. And so like my own sort of rhythm tends to be, even though like I am a hard worker and I do a lot, like my own personal rhythm is pretty slow. Like it takes me a while to like trust somebody. It takes me a while to like build up a relationship. But then once you've got a relationship with me, like you've got a buddy for life. And so when I think about my people as being like, you know, you were saying earlier, like you are your first client, you know, those are also the kinds of people that I tend to attract because that is my rhythm. And so if I were to just like focus on pushing strategy and getting people to move out of integrity, and actually when we talk about marketing, one of the things I get asked a lot is, well, if you take out all of those like pushy strategies, how do you get people to make a decision? You know? And for me, it's like people are going to make a decision based on like, basically people move in two ways. They move out of a sense of like fear and fight and flight and like, I have to move. Or they move from a place of like, I feel safe and secure, so I'm going to step towards this thing. And so I always want to be creating an environment within my own business where people are wanting to move towards me rather than move away from something and look at me as like the rescuer or the savior or the thing that's going to like change their life. It's really about like, hey, we can create movement for you that feels safe and in alignment with your story and with your nervous system. And how can I communicate that to the best of my ability is my marketing strategy.
I love that marketing strategy. So if people want to learn more about you, your work, they want to follow along, where would you direct them?
Everything is at Kat Hosuli. And so that's my website, www.kathosuli.com. My Instagram handle is kat.hosu.li. And then I have a podcast called The Rooted Business Podcast.
Amazing. We will link those in the show notes. And then we always love to know here on Business Switch, what's your sign?
Ooh, I am a Gemini. Yeah, Gemini with a Cancer rising. Is that right? No, Cancer moon.
Do you know what your rising is?
I don't. I'm not super well versed in Western astrology.
That's okay. I was curious because I would not have guessed Gemini, but Cancer feels like very resonant.
Mm.
So I'd be curious to know. And then the final question we always ask on this show, when I remember, which is maybe 85% of the time, what's your why? Why do you do what you do?
Oh my gosh. That I feel like is like a whole nother conversation. But I really feel like there is so much potential in humans. And I don't think that we're like reaching our potential. And I think the way that we get there is through safety and through aligning with our Tao. And so the closer that I can get to helping people align with their own purpose, whether that means that you are, you know, manifesting the business of your dreams or not, like, you know, maybe there's another pop star out there who needs some support in like realizing that that's what she needs to do. That's really what my work is all about, is helping people strip off those stories that have helped them feel safe and find them, or help them find a safer story within themselves.
I'm leaving this episode like, am I a pop star? Because that was what your old me thought my dad was.
Or maybe there's elements of that you bring into your work. You know, that was something that we considered with that client, is she was like, you know, maybe I bring aspects of like songwriting into my work and bring aspects of like, you know, just like the costuming and the performance aspects of it. And then she tried for a bit and yeah, she just ended up deciding that she's a full-on pop star.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I want to follow her. Well, thank you so much for sharing your magic with the audience today. Go follow Kat and be a part of her community and her world. And we will see you next time on Business Witch.
Yeah. And just as like little teaser, I'm going to interview Kara on my podcast. And so we're going to do this like joint thing. So if you enjoyed this conversation, I want to just point you over to the Rooted Business Podcast, where now I'm going to dive into Kara's genius brain and ask her all these questions. So yeah.
I can't wait.
Come hang out.
See y'all next time.